Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shir Mandaf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Et Shalom, and we are now in Masechet Bava Metzia Daf Mem Dalet Amud Aleph, as we begin our study of the fourth parak of Masechet Bava Metzia. As I indicated in the very short introduction on the handout of this parak, it takes us in a very new direction, and in this first Mishnah, the analysis of which will take us about a good five, six daf, we will be dealing with different forms of transaction with this as the bottom line, or different subjects of transaction with this as the bottom line, that peirot, meaning commodities, are always the item that is purchased. The coins are the payment. And it means as follows, that when the buyer takes possession of the commodity, he is now obligated to pay the coin, and on the other hand, paying the coin does not ensure that the deal will go through. Let us take a look. Hazahav konet hakesef, hakesef eino konet hazahav. Now this is counterintuitive as far as the way it reads. What it ends up meaning is that, at least according to the presentation in our Mishnah, zahav, gold coins, acquire kesef, meaning that gold coins are considered a commodity relative to silver, such that when somebody who's buying gold coins takes possession, he is immediately obligated to pay the silver, may not renege. But, hakesef eino konet hazahav, not the opposite. Hanachoshet konet hakesef, hakesef eino konet hanachoshet. Copper is also a commodity relative to silver, and therefore copper coins, if someone buys copper coins, then that is the commodity, and the silver is the coin. Ma'ot ha'ra'ot konet ha'tayafot. Same thing, bad money, money which is not acceptable in every place, money which is devalued in some sense, is the commodity relative to good money. Ha'yafot ha'nan konet ha'ra'ot. Asimon konet ha'matpeh, a slug, is the commodity relative to a minted coin. Ha'matpeh ha'no konet ha'simon. That's sort of the Ur statement here, that goods acquire the coin, but coin doesn't acquire the goods. Meaning, once the goods are taken, then the coin is, the buyer is obligated to give the coin over, and not vice versa. Now, kol metaltin konin zed zed. But we don't say that in every relationship one has to be the commodity and the other coin. If they're both goods, then the minute one is swapped, in case of barter, like the Mishnah and Kiddushin, Hachlif Parah B'Chamor, the minute that one is swapped, the one is liable now to hand over the other piece and may not renege. Ketzad is the next Mishnah. What's an example? Mashachin in a perot from Latan Tamaot, so let him yet pay. Eino yechol achzorbo. He cannot renege on the deal. But if, on the other hand, he paid the money and did not yet take the peirot, the seller can then say, you know what, I don't want to sell you the peirot. But the rabbi said, he who exacted judgment from the people of the generation of the flood and the generation of the dispersion, that's at the Tower of Mavel, Genesis 11, Bereshit Yud Aleph, who Atzi the Parai will exact judgment from anybody who does not stand up to his own word. If the man committed to sell something and then he got the money, he should go through with it. Rabbi Shimon Omer Kol Shakesef Biyado Yado Al Yonah. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with one component of this and says, whoever has the money in his hand, he really is directing the deal. And we'll see what that means, but it'll take a number of podcasts till we get to him. All right, our entire focus in this and the next session is only going to be about the first issue, which is the relative role of zahav, the relative and absolute role of gold, both in relation to silver and in relation to itself as its own objective standard. Matni the Rabbi Shimon Berei Azav Konet HaKesef. So Rabbi taught his son Rabbi Shimon, and evidently when Rabbi was already an old man, he taught him the Mishnah the way we have it. Amarlo Rabbi. So he said to his father, Rabbi, Shanita Lanu Bialdutecha HaKesef Konet HaZahav. When you were young, meaning younger, you taught me differently, which is that Kesef is the commodity and Zahav is the coin. Now that you're an older man, you're changing your mind and flipping it around. So the answer that the Gemara gives is Bialdute, my savar. What did Rabbi think when he was young? What did he then think when he was older? When he was young, he thought gold is more important, is worth more. So that's the coin. Silver, which is not as valuable, that's the commodity. And of course, the peirot generate the kinyan. When he was older, what did he think differently? He didn't think differently about the concept that peirot konim et ha-matbea, but rather he thought kaspa d'charif havitiva, silver, which is accepted everywhere and is used everywhere, that's the matbea. D'havad lo charif, but gold, which is not accepted everywhere and cannot be used in every place, havipera, that becomes the commodity. So in other words, he agreed that koni le'peirot lativa. The question is, what's the commodity and what's the coin? One thing that Rebbe seems set on is that between gold and silver, one has to be the commodity and the other is the coin. The question is, what makes something a coin? Is it its value, in which gold is the coin, or is its universal acceptability as coin, which makes silver? Now, Amar Vashi Ki Aldu Tevistabra, we really should hold like his youth, meaning that silver should be the commodity relative to gold. Why midiktan in chosher kunat hakesef? Because what's the next pair in our Mishnah? Copper and silver. And we said that copper is the commodity. So if you accept Rebbe's youthful presentation, which is that kesef is the commodity relative to gold, so then you have a linear progression. Gold is the coin to kesef. Kesef is the coin to nechoshet, etc. And then it works because the better something is a coin, the more valuable it is, the more that it is the coin and the other one is the commodity. So then I understand why I need to teach that copper is the commodity relative to silver. Even though in the relative to gold, silver is a commodity, but in the relative to copper, it is considered a coin. So Ravashi says it makes sense to follow Rebbe's youthful presentation, because then the Mishnah works in a perfectly linear fashion. Eliyamar Kaspa Legabe Dehavativaha, but if you want to read the Mishnah like our version, Rebbe's older version of his older age, then if Kesef is considered a coin relative to gold, which is worth more, then you have to tell me that silver is a coin relative to copper, where it's both more commonly used and worth more. So it must be that silver really is the commodity relative to gold. The answer is not necessarily. Even if we had our Mishnah the way we had it, we would still have to teach about copper, because I would think as follows. Copper coins in places where they're accepted are more widely accepted than silver. In other words, not every place is going to take copper, but in places where they use it more commonly than silver. So maybe nechoshet relative to kesef is a matbea, because where copper is used, it's more, you use it more commonly. The answer is that since there are places that don't use copper at all, therefore copper is considered a commodity. Okay, we're still working with this. Rabbi's prize student and the one who took over for Rebbe believes that gold is the coin relative to silver, like Rebbe's earlier teaching. How do we know that? From a story. To Rav, Osif Tinare Bechmi Barte de Rabbi Chia. Rav, who was Rabbi Chia's nephew two times over, as you recall, borrowed money from Rabbi Chia's daughter. It was from his cousin. Lasof Aikur Dinari. These were gold coins, and while he had the coins went up in value. Now, it's important to notice some background here, and we're going to get into this in the next parak, that Mida Oraita Ribit is only Arba V'chamisha, meaning I'm borrowing $4, I'll pay back $5. That's Ribit Oraita. Mida Rabbanan, you are not allowed to borrow goods for goods, straight up, as opposed to goods for their value. So I can't borrow a pound of wheat for a pound of wheat, but I can borrow a pound of wheat at $5 for $4 or $5 worth of wheat. Because then if wheat goes up or wheat goes down, I'll give you $5 worth of wheat and there's no problem of rebate. But if I borrow a pound of wheat and return a pound of wheat, wheat may have gone up or gone down and there's going to be a rebate there. So therefore, here's the problem. To the Kamed Rabbi Chia. Rav borrowed gold coins from Rabbi Chia's daughter. While he had the gold coins, the value of gold went up. So he went to Rabbi Chia and said, what do I do? Can I pay her back the same gold coins, the same amount of gold coins? That's rebit. Amalei zil shalim la tavin v'tikilin. He said, give her back the same amount of good coins. So, if you accept the principle that Rabbi Chia holds, that gold is a coin. So Shapir, because he took 10 gold coins, returning 10 gold coins. It's just coins. Eliyamar Peirahavi, but if you think that gold coins are a commodity, how about they say a baseya? Vyasur. Then what you have is, seya baseya, again, the problem of borrowing commodity for a commodity, which is asur. So the answer is not necessarily so. Rav dinari havulu. Rav had his own gold coins. Came into havulei dinari, since he had his own gold coins, nasaka omer la halvini ad shiavo bni o ad shem zamafteach. It's an example, as we have this in the fifth parak, of somebody who says, lend me money until some external thing comes, and I need just to tide over. Until my son comes, or until I find a key to the storehouse where I have my money, or something else like that. In that case, they weren't gozer seya baseya. Alright, so which means that dinarim could still be a commodity, and nonetheless, dinari zahav could still be a commodity, and still not a problem. However, Amar Rava does say, and you can see how we're pounding the point, that zahav should be considered, unlike our mission, should be the coin. Haitana sabar dahavati bahave. He says, well, I found you a Tana that certainly holds that gold is a coin. Titania. Pruta shamru, when the rabbis refer to pruta, echad mishmona b'isari talki. That's 1/8 of an isari talki. Go back to the first Mishnah in Kiddushin. Right, l'mayin afkamino kiddusha isha. The truth is, this is lan afkaminot. But one example of that is kiddusha isha. If a man gave a woman 1/10 of an isari talki, then there's no kiddushin. If on the other hand he gave her 1/8, then it is. Alright. Isar, how much is an isar? Echad mi'asim v'arba b'dinar shal kesef. It's 1/24 of a silver dinar. That's important for business, because if somebody bought something with a certain amount of isarim and he received back, let's say only 20, he paid 24 isarim and he only got half a dinar worth of stuff, then he could claim on Nod that he was defrauded, price gouging. Dinar shel kesef, how much is a dinar shel kesef? Echad mi'asrim v'chamisha b'dinar shel zahav. It's 1/25 of a gold dinar. That's what Pinyon HaBen, because Pinyon HaBen is essentially 20 dinar shel kesef. So if a man gives a kohen a gold coin, the kohen has to give back 5 in change, because he owes him 20 dinar shel kesef. You give him back 5 silver dinarim. Now, Iyamat Bishlamati Vahave, if you agree with me that gold is considered a coin, Mishara Tana Midat Akitz, that it makes sense that the Tana is measuring with the value of silver with a stable measure, which is gold. Eliyamat Peirahave, that if you think that gold is a commodity, Mishara Tana Midat Akitz, okay, Rozil, is the Tana going to give us how much silver is and use as a basis for that something where the price fluctuates? So zinun d'mahadu l'kahana, zinun d'mosif l'kahana. It could be that the coin is going to have to give back change, or somebody's going to add something to the coin, meaning that you have to have a stable amount here. So at least that Tana holds, as Rava said, that gold is considered a matbea even relative to kesef. Now let's test this against issues of ma'aser sheni. Just as one quick introduction, something that everybody's familiar with, is that when you harvest peirot in Eretz Yisrael, besides the trumot, trumat gedolah, and maaser rishon, and then the Levi separates trumat maaser, in the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle, you have to separate maaser sheni. Now, usually the case will be that you live in Afuli, you live in the Golan, you live in Lachish, wherever you live, and you've harvested a lot of stuff, and your maaser sheni may be a huge amount. You can only eat maaser sheni within the walls of Yerushalayim. So the Torah provides a fix, and that is that you may redeem the value onto coins, and take those coins, the value of the fruit onto coins, plus a fifth. So let's say that the value of your maaser sheni grapes is $100,000. So you pay $125,000, you transfer it onto coins, take those coins through Shalayim, and there you see, eat and party and have a great time. Now, that's all in Parshat Re. Now, here's the situation. What if you are in, wherever you are in Afula, now you've suddenly got a huge pile of silver coins, and you want to convert them to a few gold coins. Can you do it? Beit Shammai omrim lo yaseh adam sla'in dinarei zahav. Beit Shammai says you can't. Beit Hillel says you can. Now, Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, with machloket about this machloket, meaning how far it went. Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, one, we don't know who said what. Chana mar machloket b'slam shal dinarim. One of them said the machloket is changing silver coins for gold coins. The Beit Shammai Savri, Beit Shammai says, kaspativa v'dahava pera. They hold like our Mishnah. Silver is the coin, and gold is the commodity. Vativa pera lo machalalina. You can't take the coins of Maaser Sheni and then transfer the kedusha onto a commodity. That's Beit Shammai's position. Beit Hillel Savri kaspa pera v'dahava tiva. And Beit Hillel holds like Rebbe's earlier teaching, which is that the silver is the commodity and the gold is the coin. So if you turned your Maaser Sheni into silver coins, you can now turn them further into gold, which is more a coin than the silver. Perativ machalina. Now, aval perot al dinarim, according to this first approach of either Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, but if it was a question of taking the fruit and directly redeeming it onto gold coins, divra kol machalina, everybody agrees. Beit Shammai and Hillel will agree you could do it. Beit Shammai just says you can't take silver and redeem it onto gold because gold is a commodity, is a pre. But relative to fruit, gold is certainly a coin. That's one position. My time of midi da me kesef le Beit Hillel, just like Beit Hillel says, as far as kesef goes, kesef Beit Hillel afagab de kaspe le gabe da hava peir have. Think about this. Beit Hillel holds that kesef, relative to silver, to gold, is considered a commodity. Nonetheless, he certainly agrees you can redeem fruit onto kesef, so everything's relative, meaning that you can redeem fruit onto either one of these things. Just like Beit Shammai says that gold is the commodity, nonetheless, it is a coin relative to fruit. Just like, according to Beit Hillel, silver is the commodity relative to gold, but it's certainly a coin relative to fruit. That's one position. Good. Chanamar, the other of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish, we still don't know who's who. He said, you know what, Beit Shammai says you can never use gold. You can't redeem silver onto gold, you can't redeem fruit onto gold. Now, but according to that opinion that says that Beit Shammai disagrees even about taking the fruit themselves of Maaser Sheni, redeeming them onto gold, so if the Mishnah is going to present the machloket about transferring silver to gold, why don't they teach the bigger chiddush? You can't even transfer fruit to gold. So the answer is iflug perot al dinarim. The answer is if we had that machloket, I would have thought that it only applies to that case. That it could be that if Beit Shammai and Beit Hillel disagree about transferring the fruit of Maaser Sheni, and redeeming them directly on gold coins, I would then think, but yes, if you have silver coins to redeem them onto dinarim, maybe Beit Hillel agrees that you can't do it. Because they would say, sure, gold is a coin relative to fruit, but relative to silver, maybe it's a commodity. Maybe they'd agree. Therefore, I need to teach silver to gold to show me that Beit Hillel disagrees there also. Good. Now, it's time to Rabbi Yochanan who damar in Mechalin. Remember, we said we don't know which one of Rabbi Yochanan Rish Lakish was the one who maintained that the Machloket is all the way through and that position says that you can't even redeem the fruit of Maaser Sheni directly onto gold. And the other position was no, that there Beit Shammai would agree. Now, it's time to Rabbi Yochanan who damar in Mechalin. Right now, we're going to try to infer that it's Rabbi Yochanan who says that the Machloket cuts all the way through. Why? The Amar Rabbi Yochanan, what did Rabbi Yochanan say? Asur levot dinar b'dinar. You can't borrow a dinar for a dinar. Now, remember, there's two kinds of dinar, dinar kesef, dinar zahav. Dinar dama. Ilam a dinar shal kesef, dinar shal kesef. You think you can't borrow a dinar of silver and pay it back with a dinar of silver? Is there anybody in the world who says that silver is not a coin relative to silver? Must be that Rabbi Yochanan meant you can't borrow a gold coin and pay it back with a gold coin. Ulaman. Now, according to whom is Rabbi Yochanan saying this? Wait a second. Beit Hillel said gold is considered a coin even relative to kesef. It must be that Rabbi Yochanan is saying this. I'll leave it to Beit Shammai and saying that a gold coin, which they consider a commodity, cannot be borrowed for another gold coin because it is an absolute commodity, not just a relative one. And therefore, you can't even machal a perot on it. So there must have been Rabbi Yochanan who had that opinion that said Beit Shammai would say. In other words, Rabbi Yochanan is not expressing his own opinion here. He's just saying, according to Beit Shammai, you cannot borrow a dinar shel zahav for a dinar shel zahav. Therefore, you must hold it. According to Beit Shammai, a gold coin is an inherent and absolute commodity and not just relative to silver. Therefore, you can't even redeem perot shemasa sheni on a gold coin. The answer is low. No, that's not Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan certainly could be the other position, the one that says that Beit Shammai will agree that you can redeem fruit directly on gold coins. Shani halva. But why then does he say you can't borrow a gold coin for a gold coin? Since in our Mishnah, the Rabbanan equated Zahav to a commodity relative to Kesef, therefore, Damrin Iu Niu de Okeroz Vizil, because they say that's the one whose value fluctuates, the gold. Therefore, in the context of a loan, they also considered the gold coin to be a commodity, and therefore it's Seya Vaseya. That's why you can't do it. But they would certainly agree that fruit, relative to a coin, the gold coin is a coin, and you could redeem on it. Now, Hachinam Mistabra, and by the way, that makes sense. Why? Rabbi Yochanan himself said exactly that point, and we heard it from Ravin, who came to Bavel. Rabbi Yochanan said exactly our point. Even though you can't borrow a gold coin for a gold coin, but you can be Mechalal Maser Sheni fruit on a gold coin. All right, Toshma. Haparit Selim Mount Maser Sheni. This is the next Mishnah Maser Sheni. If you want to make change, you have a sella, now instead of swapping it for gold, you want to break it down into copper coins. You have your silver coin of Maser Sheni, again, you're still in Afula, you're still outside of Yerushalayim, and you want to make change. Beit Shammai Omrim B'chola Sella Ma'ot. Beit Shammai says you could take the entire silver coin you have and turn it into 24 copper coins if you want. B'chola Sella Ma'ot. Beit Shammai Omrim B'shekel Kesef B'shekel Ma'ot. Only half. The interesting part is Beit Shammai. Wait a second. This doesn't make sense. According to Beit Shammai, you could take silver and break it, silver of Maser Sheni, and break it down into copper coins. Then why can't you take silver and buy gold coins with it? The answer is Shani Prita, Ba'atra Desagin Harifi. Copper coins are different, as we saw earlier. Because in a place where copper coins are accepted, they actually are more utile and available as coins, and therefore they really are considered kesef, as opposed to gold, which is rarely used in commerce itself, but is bought as a commodity. Okay, we're going to pause at this point. I have a very short podcast after this of the other version of the Machloket of Yochanan Rish Lakish, in taking a look at this piece, which will take us all the way up to the very famous sugya, Rav and Levi, Kalev Shilmi Konin B'chalipin. In the meantime, wish everybody a wonderful day.